checking them out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
All right, Chew, Yelp us.
Yelpy!
Give us the Yelp review. You went to the Hobnob this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures you shared with us were stunning.
Yeah. Idyllic.
I didn't realize it was right on the water. Beautiful. So that was a shock pulling in.
Just so funny because every other person on this panel,
yeah,
we would have Google mapped it at some point, right? Like we're going to the Hobnob, especially if we're driving, well, and we would have seen the bloop pin right along the water.
Well, no, the problem here is you're telling me when you looked up their menu on Friday,
mm-hmm.
you were sitting there looking at the menu. There's zero pictures on their website of their beautiful lake view?
I'm sure there were, but I go right to the menu. Which people thought is weird. That's not weird.
Well, no, we know you. You go right to the food.
Yes. So pull in, place, beautiful location, packed. But it was nice. We got there probably 6:45 and the blue hairs were already leaving. Because I'm sure they were there at 3:30.
I don't know. Some of those pictures I saw, Chew, there were some blue hairs.
Yeah, there were. Inside
there's
was fantastic.
There's a picture of sailboats on the logo.
I knew it was near the water. I didn't know it was on the water. Took a few pictures, had a old fashioned, outstanding. Service was great. Food was good. It was worth the hour and 10-minute drive. Put it that way.
Wow.
It was worth it.
That's awesome. Man,
highly
to hear
recommend.
You, the last time, I can't even remember the last time, I heard you saying good things about service.
Service was outstanding. Yeah. Bartender, very friendly, came up
after the meal,
had ourselves a grasshopper, which I haven't had in years.
Oh,
probably
a grasshopper?
20 years.
Oh, man.
But it was different. It was like a mound of ice cream with the, what is it, creme de menthe?
I saw that picture on the website, too. I was like, ooh.
So we all shared that. It was great. Highly recommend it.
What was the best part?
I mean, the view was unbelievable.
Did you have a table with
a
good
view?
We had a
great table. Yeah. Perfect.
Great How table. Much can a view make up? You know, if you have a 10 view, can the food be a 6?
Yeah, as long as the service is good.
Okay, so now it's a service.
So it's kind of 2 out of 3.
So this is like when you do with the Packers, offense, defense, sometimes you do special teams, but mostly not. Like, and there's a combination of the two scores. Chewy, you score the offense, you score the defense. Give me a score for the view, give me a score for the food, give me a score for the service.
View was a 10, because the water was literally right there,
mm-hmm.
over on a bluff, was a 10. Service, give it a 9. Food. Food's a tough one because I don't.
What'd you go with?
I went with the prime rib.
Okay, so you did go with the prime rib.
And then Angie got lobster tail. So I had a little bit of best of both worlds.
Little make your own surf and turf.
Rockefeller, outstanding. I'd give the food, I'm tough on food, I'd give it an 8.3.
Okay.
Which for me is pretty good. Seeing how we went to a pizza place, you know, Portnoy.
Yeah.
He reviews pizza.
Uh-huh.
He gave this place in Chicago a 7.5, and I agreed with it. Because I'm a pizza connoisseur.
I love that you know who Portnoy is.
Well, just because of the pizza.
Okay, I was about to say, he doesn't know who Portnoy is.
You could have, you know, I could have made a wager $1,000
yeah.
and would have lost that one that you would know
oh.
who
Yeah,
he has. No, I was about to say he doesn't know his first name.
Oh, yeah. What do you think his first name is?
I think it's David.
Dang it!
Yeah,
would have lost that bet.
David.
But here's the thing. I know
hey,
he does
Mark.
Radio or something like that. I really don't care what anyone else says other than me. So I don't. You know, I'm like
something like that,
right? Like who cares?
That's
now pizza. I'm in line with you. What else?
No, that's it.
So ambiance, service,
yeah.
and food.
So the pictures you sent us, I swear to God, I thought you went in a time machine. It has a very,
but that's
a retro vibe.
But again, for someone, because you had admitted on Friday that you have never been to a supper club.
Correct.
That is the vibe and the aesthetic that I want out of my supper
I
club.
I mean, there is a giant martini
yeah.
cocktail.
Yeah.
Pink and blue and red.
That's
on
how
the
you know
wall.
You're in the right place.
You said the writing of the food and cocktails looks very much like, is it 70s? Is it 80s? I don't even know 70s, what decade it is.
Yeah, late 70s-ish. Yeah.
And then again, I love the picture. You look at the tables. They got linen tablecloths. You got linen napkins. A lot of red, lush. The walls look marbled.
Oh, it's great.
I mean, it's just very, it's ornate, but ornate in a like back in time DeLorean type of thing.
It's exactly what you're looking for in a supper club.
Now, what's a hobnob? Is that just hanging out and shooting the bull?
Yeah.
That's hobnob?
Right, if you're hobnobbing.
You're hobnobbing.
To me, hobnobbing is working in to get favor if you're hobnobbing.
Really?
You are working to benefit yourself or
there's
your
a little transactional element to hobnob?
To me, hobnobbing is not just simply interacting. There is a goal in mind.
I don't like hobnob as much anymore. Now you've made it like dirty.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this about the world. A lot of people have ulterior motives, Jen.
Mix socially, especially with those of higher social status.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're not. I'm
social
not
climbing.
Done. Huh?
Social climbing.
Sounds kind of country clubby to me.
Sure does.
We know how you feel about that.
Yeah.
But again,
friends
that's.
And neighbors.
But that's the. Again, when you think about supper club, you know, that's kind of the what you were getting into back in the day. Yes, supper clubs are now more readily available, but I'm guessing they were a little more exclusive.
Yeah, but I don't want to hang out with the 70s. Cock of the walk.
What do you think you are, pal?
I am not.
I do love that in one of the photographs, Chewy's clearly taking pictures for us, right? Because we asked him to share some with us in the group text chain. One of the women is staring right at you. She's like,
really?
Look at this tall, giant human being taking photographs of the crowd. Like, there's a part of me that is wondering as I'm looking at her in your photograph, did she recognize our guy? Did she know that that was Mark Chmura, Super Bowl champion?
Well, they made me sign the book or whatever. And they're like, the only other one that's been here is a cub, Skeeter Nuts or whatever. Great. And it didn't come out very well.
Well, you were already a grasshopper in.
You know, when you can't spell a word and you just cursive your way through it.
You having trouble with your own name?
Yeah, just leave it alone, all right?
How many autographs have you signed?
It must have been something more than his autograph.
It was.
He's got that
it
nailed.
Was a book that they're like, can you sign the book and make a comment? So I left a comment.
But you made a comment that you couldn't spell?
Hold on.
Let us three, let's figure out what word.
Hospitality, all right? Are you happy?
I was thinking maybe congratulations.
Couple glasses of wine. Cut me some slack here.
Let's redeem ourselves. Spell hospitality now.
H-O-spitality.
Perfect.
Oh, my God. Nailed
it.
You know, Laylas, my 7-year-old, is in the spelling phase of the world right now. You know what I would tell her? Break it up into pieces, right? So you go with the has part. Then the pit part, then the
alley. Yeah.
How far away is hospitality away from hospital with an idiot at the end?
Did she say with an idiot at the end? Because that would have applied as well.
That cream to mint put me over the top.
Sounds like it. Just the one old fashioned then? Okay. Well, it sounds like you had a good time. We had a ton of people weighing in, ton of people giving us their suggestions for supper clubs. I even saw Chase's baseball coach this weekend who couldn't believe I'd never been to one before. He was like, really, Jen? You've never been? I said, where do we go? He said, Ishnala. I said, well, that's not exactly around
that's the
corner.
Ishnala is probably, at the top of the list of just about every Wisconsin supper club. Mm-hmm. But they've got other supper clubs in the Dells as well. There's a couple that are actually
The Del Bar? Is that
Del Bar?
Is that a supper club?
That's a supper club.
Okay. Because that's a good default.
Yeah.
Like it's a very good default.
If you don't want to wait for...
that's still an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of wait at Del Bar.
Yeah.
We know Gabe went to Summerfest this weekend. I went to the pool yesterday, as you can see by the damage I did to my skin. Ooh, it's spicy. And the crazy thing about that, guys, is I am the sunscreen queen. Like, I am putting sunscreen on my face every day. I am always telling people, Chase and his girlfriend, when they're going to the beach, don't forget your sunscreen, put your sunscreen on. Like, I could be that guy from 1999 who said, wear sunscreen. If the only advice you follow of this thing, is to wear something. Like, that's me. So, this is
seems
a bad
like
look.
You want to relinquish your crown. I don't know if you can be the queen and then walk in looking like this. Is that?
Shouldn't you just be able to take a pill these days?
For sunscreen?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right?
No.
I want the sunscreen on the outside of my body, not on the inside of my body.
I know, the protective layer is kind of critical here.
No. I mean, you could take a pill to get a tan, I think.
No.
Yeah.
You could get
jaundice.
Just
one of your investments?
No,
is that what
no.
we're talking about?
It's a different kind of tan.
I had a buddy, I think, that took the pill, but it was very orange. So they don't have it dialed in yet.
You think?
No. I mean, literally orange.
Like Oompa Loompa?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they need
it's definitely
to
still
put a little
the beta
tint in there
phase of that.
Somewhere.
Speaking of, guys, I saw a gentleman sitting in front of me at the pool yesterday just baby oiling himself up. Just straight. Like, we know you should not use baby oil on your skin at
correct.
This point, right? Like, that is like well known. Just over there lathering, slathering. I was like, oh, that's going to be good in about 10 years. Is that a mole? No. Okay.
Connect the dots.
Give it a couple weeks.
So you're anticipating peeling?
I am anticipating a peel, yes.
How
not
did
the
you,
good kind of chemical one on your face.
As
here.
The self-proclaimed sunscreen queen, not put on sunscreen.
I put it on my face. I put it on my shoulders. I put it on my tummy. I put it on my thighs. I did not put it on my chest.
What about your back?
I didn't really, wasn't really back to the sun. I was sitting on a chair, watching the kids in the pool. Probably could have put some on my back or asked one of my pals to do it. I just forgot as I was going through the, like, priority is the kids.
Yeah.
Right? So as soon as you get to the pool, because they want to jump in immediately, the priority is front and back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're always, don't do my face, don't do my face. Okay, got to do your face. Close your eyes, close your mouth. Don't breathe. I think so. I did the kids, and then you know you're chit chatting and you're doing going through the things, and I just didn't go through the full checklist. I just forgot, and it is, and I'm paying for it right now.
Okay,
can you see it on the stream?
You put it on when
can
you golf.
See?
It's, yeah,
you
it's
do.
Not totally
I always
spray the face.
I just have a, yeah. I have a. I always have a spray in my trunk.
Yeah.
So it's just a quick arms. If mm-hmm. I'm wearing shorts, hit the legs, back of the neck.
You should. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real easy. So are you a spray person, Jen, or do you go to the old school lotion?
Kiddos spray
have,
for
I think they
ease.
Have sticks now.
I
you
use
do sticks
on my
sticks.
Face. I have
what? Money. Sticks?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
it's
that.
Much it's much like a deodorant.
Exactly.
System. Oh, really?
And then you...
Okay.
It's
Angie's
fun,
big on the
know,
lotion.
Like,
I'm big on the spray.
It's like the eye black at baseball.
Yeah.
You can just like...
Yeah.
But I had a buddy ask me to put it on it. I can't do that.
Wait, you had a buddy ask you to put sunscreen on his back? And you said no?
You won't lather a pal?
What, no,
if, it was
I'm
the,
out.
What if it was the spray? Would you spray his back?
I think it was lotion.
Yeah.
I can't.
But look, I understand because the lotion, you don't want to touch another man's back. I get
no,
that, right?
I don't want to touch another man. I think that's disgusting.
I understand.
I don't know.
But if
Angie
he asked you, if he handed you the spray, you wouldn't spray his back?
Ah, begrudgingly.
Wait,
don't ask me
like,
to smell that.
I love that you're like, men just generally gross.
Yeah.
Not even like hairy back.
He lives with himself. He understands men are gross.
Or any of the other things that might be a turnoff, right? It's just generally speaking, disgusting.
I think basketball might be the most disgusting sport.
Oh, because of the contact.
Yes. Touching,
well, and the direct contact, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's not in football. You've got the pads.
I mean, I got gloves.
In basketball, it's you're wearing a tank top and shorts.
Yeah.
There's going to be some contact. You got to put that arm in the back if you're banging down on the post.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like that.
Do you ever play pickup?
Hoops?
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't touch anybody.
What? I don't want him on my team.
I'm not. Hey, I'm all about. Call me Bernard King. There ain't a lot of defense being played on my part.
How
he's
old
just,
are you?
He's just standing at the wing, and just like feed me. What's your distance? What's your range?
I'm big on zone. I don't want to touch another man. That's disgusting.
So good to know, though, if we were drafting a team, right?
Right.
He's a 3-and-D guy without the D.
Yeah.
He just wants to stand on the wing.
Yeah,
because
he doesn't because you don't he doesn't want to go down to the post.
No.
He doesn't want anybody touching him.
Doesn't want bodies banging down there.
No.
Soft.
Oh, totally soft. Totally soft.
Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll this morning. Infinity Exteriors poll this morning. Would you put sunscreen on another man's back? I guess you have to say it's the men who are answering this question. As a man, would you put sunscreen on another man's back? Chewy is adamantly, vehemently, no. Negative. Absolutely not. 800-990-3776. People are saying, Jen asking people to look at her chest on the street. Get to YouTube now. All right, all right. You relax. It's a Monday. We got a lot of stuff to get to today, obviously. Big weekend for the Brewers as they took the series this weekend out at AmFam. Head on the road against a team that they are, I guess, battling, if you will, when it comes to the wild card standings. Bobby Portis has signed a new deal to remain with the Milwaukee Bucks. What does that mean for the success of the team this year? And we are going to go over our Packers red flags. What are the things that give you concern, cause for concern for the green and gold? That's all coming up this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like it's, everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Get to Gabe's trip to Summerfest this weekend in a few minutes here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we got to talk about Bobby Portis. Get those Bobby chants ready, ladies and gentlemen, because Bobby Portis will indeed continue to be a member of your Milwaukee Bucks after agreeing to a 3-year, $44 million contract. And this is a good thing. I don't think there's anybody out there who could spin this or have a take of like, oh, they shouldn't have done this. This is a bad thing. Gabe, you were talking about the big man market. It's not all that deep. So if the Bucks were looking to replace Bobby with somebody else, there wasn't a lot out there that would have been an upgrade from Bobby's consistency and the chemistry he has with Giannis and company right now.
Yeah, and it's kind of an older market. Like the best, some of the best centers out there are Brook Lopez and Al Horford. Those guys aren't exactly young. And then, so Miles Turner is also an unrestricted free agent. The problem is, like, nobody has any money to actually spend right now in the NBA because of the complications of their salary cap. So it's not like you would even be able to go out and give Miles Turner even a deal like this. The Bucks can spend more on their own guys, especially when you start taking a look at the numbers that Bobby puts up and some of the other, you know, contracts that were signed. Naz Reid signed a $100+ million contract to stay in Minnesota over the weekend as well. Their numbers relatively comparable. Yeah, it's a pretty good deal for the Bucks. 3 years, $44
Bobby
million.
Portis is who on the Packers? Keyshawn Nixon? I mean, he's not an A player.
No.
He's a role player.
Yeah, he's a role player.
He's a good role player. Who's a good role player?
But he's like a sixth man. So, like, I mean, do you have to go to somebody who plays, you know, the nickel, if you will? Like, it can't be a starter per se, although there have been times where they have used him in that role.
I don't know. I kind of look at him as, I don't know, like a Romeo Dobbs-ish. He's pretty solid, pretty reliable.
Okay.
Every once in a while goes off for a big game. You know, where he comes in, he's just red hot.
And you're talking about from production, Chew, I know, but also like from a fan favorite standpoint, is there even a comp right now as far as a Packers player who people just like go absolutely bananas over?
And not that I can think of.
On the defensive side of the ball? No.
I mean, I don't. It's a great question. Who would the fan favorite of the Packers even be? Like that cult? Do they? I don't know if they have that cult classic type of guy on the Packers. Like, because it can't be the quarterback.
Well,
it
used
can
to
never
be like the fullback.
Yeah.
Position.
Yeah. I mean, John Cooney.
A.J. Dillon.
Well, yeah, but even like William Henderson. People loved William Henderson back in the day because of all like the dirty work he did. And that's why, because Bobby serves a lot of different roles. He can shoot. He can score on the post. Defense is a work in progress at times, but he's also not afraid to mix it up.
Like, Tucker
he can
Kraft.
Be an enforcer.
Fan favorite?
I think he's working his
Getting
way
there.
Okay. It's weird how they don't really have one that we can't come up with.
Yeah. Because like when Bobby comes into the game, like the energy in the building when they're at home changes because people are excited to see Bobby. He's the unofficial mayor of Milwaukee.
And I think, again, from a, let's go macro level, right, as opposed to micro, you talk about the Bucks, and there was all this uncertainty surrounding this offseason. anytime you get a guy like this locked up, you get a little step closer to quote unquote certainty. Now, will you always have it, or will you get there this year with the Bucks? I don't know, because we know about the financial constraints that they're facing. But to me, it's a step in the right direction of, okay, one thing we've cleared from our to-do list, we've cleared from the plate, move it over to the done. Now we can focus on the other things that we still have to do, the tweaking we need to do to get this roster where it needs to be. But the other element of it, guys, is you know Giannis is a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know Giannis likes Bobby. When Giannis was putting the stuff out there and Bobby was talking about, what is it, Giannis that said, never mind me, what are you going to do, right? And he kind of flipped it on Bobby to say, hey, we all want to know if you're coming back to the Bucks. So to me, there's that element as well of like, Bucks are always going to do whatever it takes to keep Giannis happy. And to me, this is a move that keeps Giannis happy.
Was this a discount?
I think it's pretty fair. I think it's a fair deal. Because additionally, as I mentioned, the NBA is just in a really weird spot right now where not a lot of teams have true salary cap space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to sign outside free agents. I don't know if Bobby would have gone elsewhere. I don't think he makes this kind of money because teams just don't have it to spend.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So who's next?
Gary Trent Jr. is probably the next priority to keep around.
Okay.
I would say. Try to make sure you have a guy who can play some defense, who you know can knock down open shots. And there could be some interest in him, especially with this Malik Beasley news going on.
If Gary Trent Jr. walked into the studio right now, Chewy.
No.
Yeah, there it is.
No. No, Bobby Portis, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been here long enough. Gary Trent has only been here for a year.
Yeah.
I do have people weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. On their comps, Chewy, you asked, who's the comp?
Yeah.
Joey says, Bobby is Randall Cobb when Rodgers was here. And his explanation is, production, relationship to star player, very likable guy. Do you like that as a comp? Now, he's not on the team currently, but as a recent Packers player, is Bobby Portis similar to Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb feels better.
Yeah, because Randall Cobb was—he was a Pro Bowler at least. You know, like he had that one year where he was close to 1,300 yards.
Yeah,
you know, and he was looked at as one of the better receivers in the
league. I got a better one, James Jones.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I mean, James Jones led the league in touchdowns one year.
Nice player. Never going to make the Pro Bowl.
No. But he's productive.
Yes.
Does what you ask him to do.
I like James
Jones. Does some dirty work in terms of making some catches over the middle.
Yeah.
Ronnie
and he was
McKee
kind of a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially when he came back because Jordy got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, and the receivers really stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Ron and the Key weighing in saying Portis is Tucker Kraft. Justin in Jacksonville agreeing with that. He says Tucker Kraft is the best comp to Bobby Portis.
Bobby is what he is. Tucker Kraft's on the uptick.
What's your issue with Bobby? Is your issue with Bobby the defense?
He's just a guy. He's a nice guy.
He's more than just a guy.
I think he's second on the team behind Giannis in rebounds.
I want touchdowns.
You know they don't score touchdowns. Yeah, just want to make sure. Again, you gotta cover your bases.
Tucker Kraft's on the cusp of
greatness.
Pro Bowl.
Well, we think
Pro Bowl nod.
Yes, because we believe the Packers are going to go where they want to go in the next few years, not even just this upcoming season.
Yes.
That he's got to develop into an A player.
What's Bobby's position?
I mean, the NBA is kind of positionless outside of point guard.
So, but how would they
he's
rank
a big.
Him? How would they rank him?
He's a big. He's like a power forward.
What is he ranked in the NBA?
In terms of being a power forward?
15? Higher?
Sounds about right. Maybe even a little lower than that.
Well, because every team is going to have a starting BF, and then he's
But I mean,
off the bench.
There are also teams that exist, like the Washington Wizards, who are just wholly unserious and don't have any players that are going to be on any top
list. I'm glad that the Washington Wizards exist right now so that Gabe can use them every time we talk about a bad team in the NBA. It's like, well, don't forget about the Wizards. They're just a disaster.
Yeah,
13.9 points, 8.4 rebounds, 2.1 assists. That was at the end of the year. While shooting 46.6% from the floor, 36.5% from three, he was their top scorer and rebounder off the bench. Second on the team in rebounds only to Giannis Antetokounmpo. That from the Yahoo Sports article talking about Bobby Portis returning to the Bucks. How excited should I be about this? I guess I'm excited. I'm not like, because again, it gets them closer to solidifying the roster. If Bobby doesn't resign, to your point, Gabe, they're trying to fill that hole. They're trying to bring somebody else in. We know how important chemistry is to this unit. There's been all of these question marks about the Bucks this offseason. To me, it's like, check, done, good. We like Bobby. Now move on to the next thing.
Yeah, it would have been tough to find an actual replacement for him. Like, if you wouldn't have found a way to keep Bobby Portis around, because again, I'm assuming that Brook Lopez is not returning. I think the Bucks best, not that I don't like Brook, not that I don't think he can be a contributing player, but I think the Bucks need to take this gap year and get younger.
Yeah.
They need to get younger, and they need to start playing, and by acquiring some of that youth, they need to play that youth so they get experience this year. And Brook Lopez is obviously not a young man. As much as I love Brook, like, that he just doesn't fit what I think the Bucks' future needs to look like under Giannis, and Bobby Portis still fits. And if they didn't re-sign Bobby, then today would probably be
this
a little
is
bit more
about
chaotic.
2 years from now than it is next year, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's still under contract for that.
I mean, what if Brook came back for a Uber discount for the Jordy Nelson special? No?
It depends upon what else they're able to grab in free agency.
Or is it just you got to get younger?
I think you have to get younger, but if you can't find another big, because I still think they need another big man.
Yeah.
Because Giannis is going to be doing a lot offensively. You don't want to be asking him to play center minutes. That's going to beat him up physically.
Mm-hmm.
So you need another big man. And if you can't find any younger one, yeah, bring back Brook on like a 1 year deal and try to find a younger center next year.
800-990-3776. That's your Carbless talk and text line. You can weigh in on the show. Give us your comp. Lots of people are weighing in with their Packers comp to who Bobby Portis is, has been to this Bucks team. Ezra in Port Washington says, Bobby is John Kuhn. Yes, we've mentioned John Kuhn. I think that is a good comp from a cult sort of fan favorite standpoint. I don't know about a production. I mean, production. John Kuhn was very productive when he was here. He was obviously
fullback.
But yes, but also, like I said, Bobby is like the sixth man, right? So he's coming off the bench. He's contributing in those type of situations.
John Kuhn was productive in behest of better options. Meaning Mike McCarthy would just give him the ball way too much and it was unproductive.
You like the comp to John Kuhn
no,
or not?
I think it's disrespectful.
I
think it's very disrespectful to Bobby Portis.
I would agree.
In terms of what he means to the actual team.
John Kuhn was an all pro.
Great. I won most likely to, you know, like, what does it matter? It's nothing.
Most likely to what?
Wait, being an all-pro in the NFL?
He had four people he was competing against.
Still counts. Still
counts.
Count
a point.
Like, what if I won all-pro as a fullback? Yeah. I definitely tell people I was an all-pro.
I'm getting a tattoo.
Not saying much for you, Superman. No. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning, including your red flags for the Green Bay Packers. Stick around.
Find out what all the screaming is about with a BOGO offer from Screamin' Sicilian at Pick and Save in Metro Market. All Screamin' Sicilian pizzas, buy one, get one through June, actually from right now through July 1st. So there's just a little bit of time left in this deal. You got today, you got tomorrow. So get there. Pick and Save in Metro Market, buy one, get one on Screamin' Sicilian. Think about what that means. Not just the original Screamin' Sicilian, but the thin and crispy. The tavern style, if you're looking for that classic Wisconsin crust. Or maybe you want the Detroit style. A little bit of a thicker crust, cheese caramelizing along the edges in a rectangle-sized pizza. It is so good. I don't know how they made a frozen pizza this good, but the people at Screamin' Sicilian figured it out. So maybe you should figure it out as well. Buy one, get one going on right now with all Screamin' Sicilians at Pick and Save and Metro Market through tomorrow. Stock up your freezers and find out what all that screaming is about.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it. But it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
If you're like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN. And I
wonder, when I sing along with you. The open road is calling your name. The ride begins at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. This July, you could burn some major rubber in the custom Harley-Davidson of your dreams in the Fire Up Your Fantasy motorcycle giveaway. Play with your rewards card all July for entries, Thursday drawings for extra cash and reward play. It's Fire Up Your Fantasy. It's only at Pottawatomie. More information available online. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play. We have talked about red flags here on the program before, but baseline step one of this conversation is just to remind our guy Chew what a red flag is. Gabe, would you do the honors of reminding Chewy what a red flag is for the purposes of this conversation?
I think it'd be better to do this. What do you think a red flag is?
It means don't swim in the ocean.
Basically it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think he gets the gist.
All right, well, pushing it through that prism, let's have that conversation about the Green Bay Packers this morning, because there is an article out there that is talking about the red flags for your green and gold. And I got to be honest, guys, to me, these are glaring. The things that you need to be concerned about for the Green Bay Packers are glaring. I believe it's depth in this, right? They talk about depth in this article, Gabe. Is that the main thing they're concerned about?
Yeah, so it's a CBS Sports article where they're going through the contenders for the 2025 season. What are their red flags? For the Green Bay Packers, it is depth and durability.
Where?
Just all over the roster.
Kind of agree, a little bit, especially at DB and receiver. I mean, if Dobbs gets another concussion, that's three within a calendar year. Is that shutdown? It's got to be shutdown time, right?
It's up to him.
Is it?
Yeah.
There's no protocol?
No.
I mean, there's not like if you calendar. Hit,
there's.
Are you familiar with Tua Tagovailoa?
Yes. But I'm just remembering, was it the last game of the year where he had to be helped off the field because of that concussion? Remember they showed him walking in the tunnel? And he couldn't even walk.
So there's a difference between depth, guys, and quality depth.
Yes.
Right? Because I feel like that's what we have always talked about, how there's a log jam at wide receiver. They've got all of these guys you could slot in. But this past year, I think we all saw that that's not the recipe for success, that you need to have some superstar studs. Right now, I mean, does Bo Melton do anything for you, Chew? Does Malik Heath do anything for you? When you talk about, I feel like they have depth at the wide receiver position, but it feels like you fall off of a cliff after a couple of them.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you bring up two guys that might not even be on the roster this year who they drafted.
Yeah.
But again, it's depth for depth's sake. You know, a couple years ago, Bo Melton is the first one to go over 100 yards. That's not a good sign for everybody else in front of him. That more says more about the guys that were in front of him than Bo Melton being a superstar, because they're looking at Bo Melton. Hey, can you play cornerback?
Yeah, that's very,
because we like you and we want you to keep you on special teams, but we can't just keep you on special teams. You know, we need to find a spot for you in case there are some injuries. But yeah, I mean, depth all over this roster, but that's what happens when you don't have any superstars.
No.
And it just kind of all feels the same.
Corner's the same. Not a lot of depth there, or a lot of, we just don't know.
Well, they added Hobbs, obviously. Are. I think they're hoping that at the end of the year, I remember reading an article that was talking about the things the Packers have to do so they don't suffer a similar fate next season as they did to end this season. And cornerback was one of them. And the JR thing hadn't even been addressed at that point, right? So it was like, they must handle cornerback. They must add depth to cornerback. Well, they added Nate Hobbs. Again, some people are excited about him. I don't know. I haven't seen enough. You keep talking about that guy from Vegas.
Yeah, Q Myers.
Covered Hobbs, and he says this is a good acquisition for the Green Bay Packers. I can't believe that number one with a bullet, asterisk its way to the top in bold, in italics, is not the situation on the defensive line. I can't believe that pass rush is not the number one red flag for this Green Bay Packers team, because Pro Football Focus ranked them as 17th. In the league, which isn't even all that bad, right? You like, you know, all right, they're middle of the pack-ish. But when you go to pass rush win rate, which is one of the hardest things to say on the radio in all of sports, 35% was their pass rush win rate last year, and that was good for 26th. Now, I don't know a lot about math, but I know that 26 out of 32 is horrible. And that's the issue that the Packers find themselves in. So why is the situation on the defensive line not the number one red flag for your green and gold shoe?
Is it because Goody said it was an off year for him? I mean, it seems like Goody's been making excuses for this D-line for a little while now.
Yeah, for a handful of years at this point.
I mean, Rashawn Gary is what he is. When you're in year eight or going into it's Bobby Portis. You are what you are.
You're not making a huge leap.
No. Sorry, Kenny Clark, with your huge leap. Guests are picked.
Now he's taking a shot at me. He's taking a shot at me.
And then Van Ness, we'll give him one more year. But you know what they say: the eye in the sky don't lie. And from everything I've seen from him, so far. Yeah, that felt good.
Is he just a guy? Do we have JAG status here?
What, right. You got something below that?
Cut. But doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Well, no, because he's going to play out his contract. Yeah. But
There'll be no fifth-year option.
Future UFL superstar.
Yeah, see, there we go.
Yeah.
Good one.
Jay Sternberger.
Oh, he's got Jay Sternberger written all over him. He's the defensive version of Jay Sternberger, which is not great when you're a first-round pick because he's getting blocked one-on-one by tight ends. And I know you've got the thumb injury, but, like, find a way to beat a tight end. Am I asking too much? Out of a top 15 pick? That even if you've got a little injured thumb, you can't beat tight ends one-on-one?
And then you got offensive line. Like, what are they going to do with Elton Jenkins? And then I guarantee you, Zach Tom's agent saying, dude, Jordan Love did it. Do the same thing.
So is that your red flag?
I would be concerned. If I was his agent, I'd say,
Your red flag is the offensive line right now or offensive line
depth? Well, it could be a disaster. Like, because Elton Jenkins is sitting there going, dude, if I'm you, you're going to get paid. I'm not going out there. And you can't be mad at him. You agree? So Jordan Love can't get a pass, and then if someone does the same thing, you can't be mad at him.
To clarify what you're saying, so if Zach Tom shows up to camp and goes, hey, I'm here. I ain't practicing until I got a new deal.
Yeah.
So he does the sit-in, which is what Jordan Love did until he got his new contract.
Correct. Now, we don't think he's that kind of guy, but, I mean,
okay,
if I'm
Siri.
His agent.
Yeah, I don't know why.
She wanted to weigh in. She has thoughts about the red flags for the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, if you were his agent, would you be telling him? Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. You should not be. You finished third last. You were injured last year.
Yeah.
You didn't think you played that well. The rest of the league thought you were the third best right tackle in all of football. We're getting a new deal before you take a step on that field again.
So, I don't, that's a concern. It wouldn't surprise me if he said what you said. I'm not
practicing. So interesting because, again, we have talked about how the Packers love their versatility on the offensive line. They love that in a jam, they have guys who can move from tackle to guard or move over to center from guard and all of those types of things. But here they are in a situation where a guy is moving and justifiably is like, we recognize that there's a disparity here between the pay scales at these positions. I just want to make sure I'm protected, I'm covered, I'm getting what I think I have earned. And we have the situation that Chewy is referring to. Gabe, your red flag for the Green Bay Packers in 2025.
If we're talking about, again, because this is all around contenders, it goes back to what we've talked about all offseason, the lack of superstars. That's my red flag. You look around this roster, look around at every other contender. Let's just stick in the NFC. Every other contender in the NFC, they got studs up and down that roster.
Mm-hmm.
They got great players. Packers, and I'm not trying to say that the Packers have bad players. They don't. Brian Gutekunst has done a really good job of finding quality starters in this league. And they play, again, good solid B players. I need an A. I need a couple of A guys to step up. Because if your two A players are running back and safety, guess what? It's nice to have those. Those aren't the most important positions in the NFL. Those aren't the positions that carry you to championship level of a team.
It's just, I don't know if it's so the media or whoever's up there gets caught up in it too. Because they buy into crap like Jair saying, oh, you're going to have to triple team Dobbs. Really? Really? Okay. Devontae Wicks could be wide receiver one. Really? Really? Didn't happen. Okay.
He's cooking. Let
Who
him go.
Who is it?
Right? There was that conversation.
Be careful how you answer that. He said right to you.
There was talk that Wicks could pick.
Dontavian Wicks.
Not even close.
That Dontavian Wicks
not
is,
even
was
close.
Going to take another step.
Okay.
And he continues to get open, but turns out catching the ball is an important part of being a wide receiver in the NFL.
They need one of those guys to pop.
So to Gabe's point about superstars, there is a part of my brain that wants to fight back and argue and say, but they're young. They're so young. And we've talked about the youth and how they've been the youngest team in the NFL. And it takes time to develop superstars. And then the other part of my brain goes, no, that's not true. Because you have guys like Puka Nacua, you have St. Brown, you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you have all of these guys around the league who make these incredible strides. They are superstars immediately in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
A learning curve be damned. And that's where I'm like, oh, yeah, we just don't have any of those. Packers just don't have any of those.
So they need someone to develop. We thought that maybe somebody would last year would develop into that. They didn't.
Well, this year we think it's Tucker Kraft.
Well, Tucker Kraft.
More two tight end sets, going to get him the ball. Sure. We'll see. That's all you can say.
I'm hopeful for it. Like, what he has shown us through 2 years, especially being a guy that went to a smaller school, I think that there is a lot of hope that he's going to be able to continue to develop.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthew Golden, hopefully he can step up.
Yeah.
And be, like, he is, to me, if we're talking about after Tucker Kraft with the pass catchers, especially if I'm just talking wide receivers, somebody to develop into a star, like, he's my only hope at this point.
But you can't take anything out of these OTAs. You can't take a thing.
No,
okay?
Absolutely.
Because
not.
When they talked about the deal, you see Rashawn Gary in no pads? He is eating the O-lines. Oh, really? Great. And then what Jason tell us with the OTAs, this is a joke. It's half speed. So how can you sit there and go, hey, Golden,
I guess the other thing I would say that is if you're in 12 personnel, guys, then you're not getting as many reps for those wide receivers that you are hoping will develop, right? You just said somebody's got to develop.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in you have two tight ends out there, then you have two receivers out there.
Mm-hmm.
So who is that? Is that Golden and Reed? Is that Golden and Watson?
We know
eventually?
It's not Reed.
Is it Golden and Romeo Doubs?
Like, yeah.
What does the combination end up being, and how does that affect that unit? Because it will. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an unintended consequence of the development with the tight ends.
Well, I guess I don't. The other wide receivers, other than Matthew Golden, you've had your chance to develop. You've had your chance to go out there and say, hey, I deserve to be on the field more. You've had the last 2 years to do that. I understand that Luke Musgrave, and part of the reason, it's not just Kraft, right? Part of that is Musgrave, because they're excited if he can stay healthy, because he's had some freak things of his athleticism and the first 8 games that he had as a rookie and the way he was able to contribute. They're hoping that, okay, if he is finally healthy this year, again, lacerated kidney aside, again, those are the types of freak injuries. It's not like we're talking about a hammy or a calf or he keeps rolling his ankle, just strange injuries that you don't see every day in the NFL. So they've thought that those two have gone out and they've made the most of their opportunities. Which current wide receiver, Matthew Golden aside, because he hasn't been given any opportunities to go prove himself yet because he's only a rookie, of all the wide receivers, other than the ones they drafted this year, who in the last 2 years has gone out and said, hey, I deserve to be on the field more?
Well, we thought
not
it was
a single one of them.
Well, we thought it was Reed at the beginning of the year last year, and then he just plateaued.
Well,
so someone has to pop.
But they also took away his opportunities because obviously they don't trust him doing anything other than being in the slot.
Someone's got to pop. Someone's got to pop, whether it's Kraft, whether it's Wicks, whether it's someone
whether
just
it's,
has
whether
to
whether it's Musgrave, Golden. Yeah, you've got it. The list is endless, but the list was endless last year as well, and nobody grabbed the bull by the horns. But you need star players. If you want to be a Super Bowl caliber team, you need stars. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
The problem is there's no magic potion. I can't sprinkle a little pixie dust over Jaden Reed. I can't sprinkle a little dust over...
Really?
No,
you have some?
I can't. And that's my relationship with Disney. I don't even have access to the pixie dust. Okay? You know where I am on the totem pole.
What do we got to do to get you the combination of the vault that they keep the pixie dust in?
It feels
where do we think they keep
it? It feels like it'd be really difficult.
They keep that in California. They keep
that
in Florida.
I'm guessing in Walt Disney World. I'm guessing in Orlando somewhere. A
underneath.
Apartment.
What's the castle?
Cinderella's castle?
Cinderella's castle.
Okay.
Hidden
door. Orlando. Okay. Because again, I would think the original in California.
Isn't pixie dust Tinkerbell?
Yeah.
No, it's kind of like that commercial. You're sitting on a gold mine! That's how I picture it. Haven't you seen that commercial?
I don't know what the hell you're talking
Some
about.
retirement thing.
You're
just
sitting
TV
on a gold mine?
No? Where they're way underground TV? And these old people are sitting in a chair like a Cialis commercial?
Literally have no idea what you're talking about. Not one single clue. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You have no idea what the commercial's for.
Gabe's
no, I
weekend
don't.
At Summerfest. He's got beef. Gabe's got some beef. We'll talk about that after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, let me tell you about one of the things I did a couple years ago that I absolutely love. And you should do it as well. Join out at the Wisconsin Country Club. Now, I did it because I love the golf. The golf course is fantastic. We just wrapped up our member this last weekend. Course was in peak condition. But also, you know, I've got some longer days, tighter time windows. I love going out and using our practice facility. The driving range, couple of different short game areas, a putting green as well. And it's fantastic. But maybe... You know, the golf is something that you like, Maybe you're looking for something else. What about top-tier amenities, tennis, pickleball, and a pool with Sunday Fundays each and every week? No assessments, no food and beverage minimums at the Wisconsin Country Club. Get started today. Find out more. TheWisconsinCountryClub.com. It's just a fairway away.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right about anything.
Ed Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size helmet. Just, what the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Second weekend of Summerfest wrapping up on Saturday night. A lot of people down there, man. We went on Friday. Wonderful. We saw they must do a contest for high school bands, youth bands, and you try out and you compete and you perform and you get judged, and then the winners get to perform at Summerfest. So we happened on Friday morning to walk past one of the stages. It was Rock Onsen. And it was a high school band that was up there. And they were amazing. And right. I was talking to the kids. I was like, look, these kids are your brother's age. And they're standing up there playing. What a thrill. You know what I mean? To like work towards something and then have the reward be you get to play on stage at Summerfest on a Friday morning in the summer. I just thought that was so cool. Gabe, you saw a slightly more established band this weekend.
Yeah, Killers. They were great. Friday night inside the amphitheater. Packed house. A lot of people there. But, and again, I don't go to a ton of shows, you know, anymore now that I'm a little bit older, you know, maybe hit one up a couple times a year. Why the hell are we still doing encores? All right.
Yes. I love an encore.
What the hell are we doing? All right. Like, everybody knows. All right. Like, I go to the Killers and they leave the stage. Oh, thank you. Good night. Oh, I can't believe they didn't play Mr. Brightside. How could they have not done that? Oh, here they come. Surprise. I'm shocked. They came out. I can't believe that they came out. Like, it gets to the point where with encores, people aren't even cheering for you to come back out anymore. Everyone's just like, all right. All right, how much longer we got to wait
it's
for
just
you
a formality.
Actually?
Yes, is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
It's just a formality.
Like, why are we all going through the charade of encores at this point? Like, everybody knows. Woo! Like, they're not earned. Like,
is
back
that
in the day.
Self-praise stink? To
a
you?
Little. I mean, it's a little. It's an ego play.
Yeah.
It's definitely an ego play of, oh, okay, we're gonna wait, and then they're gonna cheer for us, and then we're gonna come out and play the real final song.
Because
like, no.
You're building to a crescendo. You're building the anticipation. Even if you know it's going to happen, even if you figure, they didn't play Brightside, it's their biggest hit, they're gonna save it for the encore. I don't like the idea of them just blasting through all of them. Brightside plays, they walk off the stage, the end. It feels like a letdown. It feels like it ended too abruptly.
But that's how they ended anyway.
But the encore gives you that moment of like, wow, that was so good. And we still know that the best songs are still coming.
I think they should tell you the list.
I mean, they're just wasting everybody's time.
They should tell you the list of songs. That way you go, oh.
They do.
They do?
If you go to setlists.fm. Okay.
So you can go, oh, their fifth song sucks. I'm going to the bathroom and getting a beer.
As somebody who's gone to hundreds of bands, I will strategically plan when to go get beer. Because
percent.
I know, like, this is a three-song stretch here where I like the songs, don't love them, don't need to be here. I'll run to the bathroom, grab myself a couple brews, come back. I do it a lot.
Josh and I are in lockstep on this. Every concert I have ever been to in the last 5 years, 10 years, since the setlist.fm has been available online, I always check a set list.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue some of that is a trauma response, okay? I like to know what I'm getting into. I don't like to be surprised. That's another conversation for another day. But to your point, Joshy, it comes in handy for planning, bathroom break, beer run.
But, I mean, not every set list is created equal.
Most, so...
Because, like, for example, the Killers covered a Violent Femme song.
Ooh.
Yes.
Because they, you know, that was what they decided. That was kind of like a local flavor, you know, did a spiel about how, you know, that was one of the greatest things to come out of the state of Wisconsin was the Violent Femmes.
I got some bad news for you, though, Gabe.
Yeah.
That song, typically where that cover happened, they're just playing a different song.
They're playing
cover.
A different song?
Yeah.
Well, but also with the thing with the Killers is they played a relatively short playlist for this than they typically would because they play stadium shows.
Condense, yes,
you know, so
correct.
Like this was a condensed version of what I think their full show is if you happen to go down to Wrigley and see them and things like
that. So like a band like, you know, I go see Fish or Goose, the jam bands, that's and you have no idea what's coming. You might hear a song
because they don't know what's coming.
Right. You may hear a song they haven't played in like 10 plus years, but most of the artists you see, it's a pretty uniform situation because they have lights to do. They have like special sound effects that need to be played in terms
of background,
backing.
Whatever's happening on the screens behind you.
It's very intentional with how the whole production, like the bigger the production, the more likely it is to be. If it's just guys noodling, that's usually not going to change. The one thing I've experienced is I saw Wisconsin native Bon Iver at the same event. And he said, we're not doing encores anymore. We're just playing through it. We're not going to play the game. Yeah. We're not going to play the game anymore. We're just going to do
what an inspiration.
And we're going to leave. And then the other thing I've seen is also, we've got two more songs. We're going to take a short break, use the bathroom, and come back and play you a couple more. So like they tell you the encore's happening, but it's... We're strategically doing stuff. We're grabbing a water, using the bathroom, and then we're coming right back.
What Gabe doesn't like about it is the disingenuousness of it.
Correct. Right?
We know how it works. We understand what you're going to do, what we're going to do, what you're going to do, what we're going to do. So you're like...
I refuse to participate. I'm not cheering for this just so you can get an ego hit out of it. Come on.
I don't know that that's what it is. Again, I think I like...
Part of it is...
idea of a quick little break and then you reset and then you raise yourself back up again. To me, that's fun. Chew, you don't even like being there for the duration of the concert.
I'm usually gone by the encore anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But I want to ask you this, Packer fans, are you going to get a beer when the defense is on the field or the offense? I'm saying they're not missing an offense.
Correct.
Sure.
Yeah.
So people go during the defense?
I would think so.
Why can't you go during halftime?
I was going to say, it probably happens more during stoppages.
See, that's the difference between in the NFL.
If the offense is coming up, you're like, no, I'll wait till the dip. Right? You don't want to miss.
I think you would rather time it where, okay, if I have to miss something, I'm going to go during the stoppage. But if the line is long and I miss a couple plays on defense, I think that's the way
I agree.
Well, and Gabe has talked to us about how you get out to the ballpark these days for baseball and the games are moving so quick with the pitch clock, you almost can't leave during the action.
Right. There used to be an etiquette thing there where you're supposed to wait till a half innings.
Yes.
The game's happening so fast, I can't do this stuff within it. If I go away, I'll miss a whole inning.
Well, you know, what's funny about that is I feel, again, in baseball, typically it's like, I don't need to see this guy pitching. I want to see us on offense. But with the Miz out there,
you got to see.
Yeah. You're not getting up. You're not missing 100 miles an hour coming at you that fast.
Pee in the bottle type of situation. Mm-hmm. No, don't do that. We are not condoning that here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe, you got a lot of support on the Carbless Talking text line for your anti-encore rant. We'll get to some of that reaction as
play
the
your
show
songs. Let me go
rolls
home.
On. But I do want to tell you, someone said this is Gabe's best take ever. And I don't want to say who it was, because that would just stroke that person's ego. I think y'all know. Then Gabe and Chewy rolls on.